Good evening, church. Pastor Paula here. I am sitting in for Pastor Greg tonight. He is spending this Veterans Day with his family, and we want to take a moment to honor all the veterans in our lives, in our community, within our church body, in our homes. We thank you for your service. We are in awe of your courage and your faithfulness in serving our country and protecting our freedoms. We also remember those that have given of their lives while serving their countries, and we pray for their families as they remember their loved ones as well. We are eternally grateful for what you have done and sacrificed, and we want you to know that we don't honor you just today, but we honor you every day. So thank you again for your service, and may God continue to bless you and your families abundantly. So tonight I'm coming to you actually from my dining room in my home, and we are continuing in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. As Pastor Greg has reminded us, the book of Ephesians is a manifesto or a mission statement for the church. And the first three chapters in Ephesians are stand with Christ, and the last three chapters are our walk with Christ. We have seen so far in our stand with Christ the spiritual blessings that we have of our guaranteed inheritance. We've been chosen by God. We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us and gives us wisdom and reveals to us how we may know God better. We've been made alive in Christ by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and He is our peace. He removed that barrier between Jews and Gentiles, that we may become one, that both can come near to God, that both can have access to the throne of God. So again, our scripture for tonight is from Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, and it reads, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would add blessing to your words. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a few observations here. He starts off with consequently. Sometimes Paul will write therefore or wherefore. We see that often in scripture. But he's like, consequently, it's like he's driving this point home. You know, because of what Jesus has done for us, what he has already written prior in this book to the Ephesians, the believers in Ephesus. And he says, you know, Because of what Jesus has done, we've been made alive in Christ, no longer dead in our sins. It's by the blood that we are saved. You know, this is the very basis of our salvation. It should change the way we think, we act, we speak, all that we do. You know, consequently, he has brought us near to God. He's given us access to his throne of grace. He's become our peace. He's broken down the walls between Jew and Gentile, making us one in him. So because of that, we're no longer foreigners and aliens. We've become fellow citizens, all because of Jesus. You know, to become a citizen of the United States, there's a 10-step naturalization process. But to become a fellow citizen in God's kingdom, There's no 10-step process of any kind. It's a free gift. Christ already paid that price, and it's just a matter of believing in who Jesus Christ is, accepting him as our Lord and Savior. And we've been given citizenship in God's kingdom. We have immediate access to all of God's promises because of that. And Paul goes on to say that not only are we fellow citizens, but we're also members of God's household. We're all one in this home with God. It's wonderful. And then he goes on and talks about being built on this foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's like, what does that mean? We're built on the foundation. Well, the apostles and the prophets, they laid this foundation for us. The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of the coming Messiah, you know, who is this chief cornerstone of our faith. They even talk about the cornerstone that would be laid. And the apostles, well, they were eyewitnesses to Jesus's teachings, to the miracles that he performed, through the healings, through all the things that he did as they walked with him. You know, their words are the foundation for our understanding of God. You know, they laid that groundwork, so to speak, for all of us. And how wonderful we have it all written in our Bibles that we may regularly read through and allow God to speak to us as we begin to build on that foundation in our faith. And this cornerstone, Jesus Christ is that cornerstone of our foundation. You know, the cornerstone of a building when it's being laid, the cornerstone is crucial because if you need a perfect cornerstone in order for everything to be stable, it needs to be correctly placed or the whole building will just fall apart. You know, both the Old Testament and the New Testament testify of Jesus as that cornerstone of our faith. And there's one passage in 1 Peter that I really love because it encapsulates both the Old and New Testament's view, because Peter is actually quoting from Isaiah. So in 1 Peter 2:6, he quotes from Isaiah 28:16, and it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." I love this, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And I believe in 1 Kings, it talks about when they built the temple and how at the building site of the temple, you could not hear a hammer or a chisel or nails or any of that because they went to the quarry and each stone was chosen, perfect stones chosen to make the building. So that once they got there, everything fit perfectly. And this is really what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, that we're now fellow citizens. We're being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ is our cornerstone, and we're going to be building upon that. We're going to be joined together. We're chosen by God, so we've been handpicked, so to speak, brick by brick to become this holy temple of God. And I just love this picture and this image that he has given us. So we are one in Jesus Christ, joined together as a holy temple, the church, the body of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." You know, the building that we meet in is not the church. It's the building where the church meets. I love that. When we walk through those doors, the church has now entered in to the building, and it's through the blood of Christ that he lives in us, that we have become this temple of God. The kingdom of God is in each of us. The entire world of believers, all the believers in the body of Christ, we are that temple of God. The body of Christ within Potter's Four Square Church, we are that temple of God. And as individuals, he lives in us, so we are the temple of God. And in Christ, we're being built together, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And as new believers come to faith in Jesus, they too are a part of the temple of God. That's another brick that we're going to add on. It's awesome. In 1 Peter 2:4-6, he says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Brick by brick, person by person, we are being built together. We are being unified in Jesus Christ. So in going deeper and what this means for us, there's really two things that I want to talk about, is how we're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives. So it's how are we being one in Christ? You know, we're to live as one body, one building, this holy temple in the Lord. And this was Jesus's prayer for us before he was crucified. you know, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying to the Father, and in John 17, 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone, talking about the disciples, but he says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. We will believe in him through the message, through the foundation that they've laid, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So in being one in Christ, that is in order for the world to believe that God sent his Son, that they are one and that we are one in Christ. And that is to be in a complete unity and to bring glory to the Father. So what does this look like in a practical sense? Because we do live in the world and we do struggle with our flesh and our spirit. And so how do we practically live this out? You know, we need to have the same mind as Christ. You know, he humbled himself and he became a servant. He came to serve and not be served. You know, what is more pleasing to God than to be a servant? But how often do we want to be served rather than serve? Sometimes we serve and we serve and we serve and we start getting a little tired and maybe our attitude changes a bit and we're like, you know, I deserve to be served. So we sit back and we just kind of have an attitude. But God would want us to be kind and loving, to follow the example of Jesus Christ and to be a servant to all. And in being a servant, we're going to be inclusive of everyone. We're not going to exclude anyone. Jesus included everyone, anyone that would come to him and believe that he was the Messiah. They are included in that kingdom. Are we including others? We're one body, but we're diverse within this body. We all have different personalities. We all have different giftings, and we all are important for one another. We know from God's word that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Again, let's be inclusive of everyone that walks through those doors as part of this body, and find ways to encourage, to spur one another on, to include one another in the work that God has for us to do. You know, looking out for one another's interests. More often than not, we want to look out for our own interest. Oh, well, I want to sing on the worship team. I want to be an usher. I want to be asked to speak at the women's breakfast or the men's breakfast. And when we're not, sometimes we're not looking out. We're looking out for only our interests, but not others, because, you know, God wants to use every one of us. What is God's will in this? Not ours, not our interest, but God's interest. You know, being heavenly minded. When we become fellow citizen with God's people, we become foreigners in this world. I love that, because when I was reading this earlier, it says you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. So that means that we are foreigners in this world. We're just traveling through here. Our true home, when we accept Christ, our true home is in heaven, and that's what it means to be fellow citizens with God's people. Our home is in heaven. We're just traveling through this world because our true home, again, is in heaven. And, you know, when we are heavenly minded and not earthly minded, we will be able to live together in unity of the Spirit. Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And it is pleasant and it's glorious and it gives honor to him. You know, when we are one in Christ, we walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. When we are unified in the Spirit, the body of Christ is then strengthened. Romans 15 says that may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are one in him. Let us live as one in him. The second thing I want to talk about was our foundation. You know, what are we building upon? Paul says we are have this foundation that's been laid for us by the apostles and the prophets. And that is what we're to be building upon, and being mindful of the fact that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. So this is a very stable foundation for us to stand upon, for us to build upon, you know, and how do we build? Now, Paul gives us some really good insight on how to build from 1 Corinthians 3:10. He says, by the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So again, the only foundation that has been laid for us to build upon is that of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. It's already been laid, and that's what we're building on. And we need to be careful. We want what we build to last. We don't want it to be burned in fire. So how do we do this? You know, what are we building on this foundation? Is what we are building based on godly principles? Is what we are building in line with God's will? There's a lot of good things that we can do, but that's not necessarily God's will. Maybe we become workaholics because we want to provide handsomely for our families and give them everything that they ever would want, their heart's desire. But if it's not built on godly principles, if what we're doing for them isn't teaching them how to be kingdom-minded and how to live as one in the body and making God the priority in their life, then all that we have built for our family is going to burn. There's nothing more important than laying on the foundation godly principles, how to love the Lord, how to walk with him, how to know him as their personal savior. Is what we are building edifying to the body of Christ? You know, sadly, quite often, we chew each other up in the body of Christ. We may be thinking we're doing what's right, but we need to be edifying. We need to be spurring one another on, because we want those good works, those things that we are building on this foundation, to stand the test of time. When we stand before the Lord, we want him to be able to, we want those works to be glorifying him and pleasing to him. You know, I think of the prophet Jonah. He was one of God's prophets. And God said, I want you to go to Nineveh because I want you to preach to these people that need to turn from their ways. They need to repent if they want to be saved. Otherwise, they're going to be destroyed. And what does this great prophet do? He runs the other direction. But God's will is going to be done no matter what we choose to do. And he gets swallowed up by this big fish, and he finally comes to his senses, and he's like, all right, God, I'll go and I'll do what you've said. But you know what? I don't want to, because I know that you're a loving and kind God, and you're going to save these people if they repent. So he does. He goes and he preaches repentance, and these people turn from their wicked ways, and God saves them. And Jonah's heart attitude, oh my goodness, it never changed toward these people. He still had an attitude. He cared more about the plant that God brought to shade him from the sun when it died than he did these people. You know, I'm sorry, but I have to say that this what Jonah did, it's not going to stand the test of fire because his heart attitude was wrong. We need to think about when we're doing things for the Lord, what's your attitude? What's your heart? Because that's just kind of go over. It's going to be like, that's not going to stand before the Lord. Because God is the one that did the work anyway. He just wanted our obedience and our heart attitude to be right towards him. Sometimes we're kind of a Jonah when we do things. All right, God, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to be happy about it. So we need to have the right heart attitude. As we build, we are working out our own salvation. We got to be reminded of, you know, that blood of Christ that saved us. That should be changing our outlook and how we do things. We don't want to be like the people that build their house on the sand. We want to be the people that build their house on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Because when storms of life come, when pandemics come, when political discord comes within our lives, all the things that we've seen in 2020, in fact, we don't want our world to fall apart. We want it to be standing firm on Jesus Christ. It may get a little shaky here and there, but we will come out victorious because Jesus Christ is our Lord. And that is the foundation that we lay brick by brick upon. So all of that said, you know, I just want to praise God because I want to just, as we apply this, remind us all, myself included, you know, are we living as one in Christ with fellow believers? Are we loving one another? Are we mindful of the fact that we're not the only one living in the kingdom of God and that we share this with one another? So are we standing united as believers for the glory of God? And that foundation that we have laid out for us, what are we building upon it? Are we building things that are going to stand the test of the fire? Are we building things that are glorifying God, that are edifying the body, that are putting others first? I pray that we consider that this week. So Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have broken down the barriers. May we be kingdom-minded people. May we be reminded that we are one in you, Father God, and that you have laid the perfect foundation and that all that we build upon it is to glorify you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And, you know, I just want to say that if you were listening to this and you're like, I don't know what it is to be a fellow citizen with God's people and a member of his household, but I want to be. You know, all you have to do is say a simple prayer wherever you're at. Just, you know, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again, all for me. I believe that it is by your blood that I am saved. So thank you for that. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And if that's you and you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear from you. Under the contact tab, there is a phone number. You can call the church office so that we can pray with you and celebrate with you. And we just love you, and we know that God loves you as well. And church, as Pastor Greg reminds us each week, the Lord has shown us what he requires of us, and that is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And we do that in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord and amen.